This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It makes me a little more excited for Garrett Crochet at the top of the rotation, knowing they have a more balanced lineup.
And a six-man rotation. Yeah.
I would feel real good if they piggybacked later on in spring training with an announcement about a Garrett Crochet extension. Although when he was talking to the media the other day, maybe we can get some of this out of Bradfo coming up. When he was talking to the media the other day, he's like, well, on the one hand, you want to sign. On the other, you don't want to box yourself in. You want to get out there and check some boxes and go into a contract year or 1 year away from a contract year to really show what you're worth.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to sign a three-year deal.
I don't think so either, but I feel good about it if they did, is my point.
Sure.
And I do think, as excited as we were at the time of the deal, we all kind of moved on from that. And the Red Sox increasing their margin for error, we just talked about it. Now maybe they are the best team in the division, although someone on the text line mocked that.
They don't like that.
617-779-7937. Best team in the division. L-M-A-O-O-O-O. Oh, 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 oh.
What do all those O's mean?
It's an Usher song, I think, is what that is. So not everybody agrees with that. That's fine.
They don't like that?
But Crochet, move at the top of the rotation and how much that can change a team on its own, independent of the Bregman signing. I mean, you can change this team a lot with an ace and a guy who pitches every fifth, or in the Red Sox case, maybe sixth day. And then you add the Bregman bat on top of it. Those are reasons to feel pretty bullish on the Red Sox.
Yeah, like, I don't know if I love the Yankees lineup outside of Aaron Judge.
It's a one-man lineup.
That's what I'm saying. So
Stanton plays every other month.
Right. When Stanton's out there, he'll run into a couple of home runs, but it has as much to do with the other teams getting worse as it does you getting better. Like, those teams,
yeah, they've come back to you a little bit, and you've gotten a little better. Yeah.
And so, like, if Max Fried is awesome, then okay, maybe the Yankees are pretty good. But right now it's, what, Cole, Fried, Rodon, and then, like, Clark Schmidt and Luis Gil versus Garrett Crochet, Walker Buehler, Hauk Crawford, Giolito, Bayo. Like, I don't know. You know, high-end Cole is obviously great. Red Sox have had their success against him, though, right? Red Sox have smacked him around. Yeah, but the point is, it's not crazy to say they could win the division. Like, I don't know how you could have a ton of confidence in the Yankees or a ton of confidence in the even the Orioles right now.
Me neither. Text line also says, do we have a legitimate closer? Are they planning on using Chapman?
That's a good question.
Well, we were talking about this yesterday, and it does, you know, amplify that need on the team as well. So you go in with a better rotation.
Two closers. to steal a Robert Kraft phrase.
Robert Kraft would say, there's actually two closers on this team. You know, your lineup is better, certainly, I think, than a year ago. Yesterday, we were lamenting that. We're like, well, no Tyler O'Neill, who's the right-handed bat, who's going to bop you 25, 30 home runs. Well, there it is, and it's on the infield, and it's a more balanced team, it feels like. So,
better lineup than the Yankees?
Oh, I think definitely a better lineup than the Yankees. I would still give the Yankees the edge in the rotation, but better lineup than the Yankees for sure.
Yeah.
So, right, it does amplify the issue they have at the back end of games. Like, if you start blowing games in April and May, because you're going closer by committee and you don't have defined roles, or the guys just aren't good enough back there, that's a need, but that is also a box you can check in season. Trading for a reliever is something you can
do. But there is a chance, you know, somebody in the Twitch chat is talking about, like, why would Hendricks get passed over? And Hendricks was fantastic, but it was years ago. And so it's sort of
what's
he going to look
like? If he comes back and looks like the guy pre-injury, then he's your closer. But to just go into the year assuming he's the guy,
that's the tricky part. I think
that's dangerous when you have no idea how he's going to pitch.
But I think it seems like you kind of go about it, and however Cora and the whole front office, I guess, decide to go with it. You know, opening day, there's a save situation. Like, does Chapman get the eighth and Hendricks get the ninth, or does it depend on who's up and all that other stuff? But as the first couple of months go on, and let's say Chapman's your setup guy and he's lights out and Hendricks is struggling, all right, then you switch him. Like, so maybe they're thinking, we have these two. You don't have one defined guy to start, but whoever's pitching better will end up sort of winning the job as the season goes on. Because those guys have both done it. Like, those, like, they're both older. They have a ton of career saves and ninth inning experience.
That's what the Pirates did last year with Chapman. Bednar wasn't good. They kicked him out, put Chapman in the club.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't feel good about Chapman at the end of games, but it's at least an option and a guy who's done it before. I also think, again, if you're willing to spend and overpay at the deadline, relievers always move. So you have to overpay for them, but relievers always move.
That's
so
true. Yeah.
If you believe in the Red Sox and this is them turning over a new leaf, and this is what the Red Sox are now, and this is how John Henry's going to act because they can feel that they're closer to a world championship or whatever, well, then I'd give them the benefit of the doubt on that. I'm not sure the Red Sox deserve that benefit of the doubt just yet. But why did the Red Sox do this now, Keith? Like, why February deadline spur action? Pitchers and catchers just reported. You have your first full team workout next week. So maybe it's that. Maybe it was the outside pressure.
Yeah,
maybe they sense. Zach popped in the last break and he said maybe there's a sense where the Red Sox feel like they can pick up some market share in this town. It's like the Patriots are kind of down.
Yeah,
let's try to swoop in while the Pats are down.
Football's over. Focus is on this. No, it might be the boring answer. I think it had more to do with Bregman. I think Bregman was getting all his offers. He was pretty firm for a while. At least the reports were that he wanted a long-term deal. He wasn't going to settle. And then you saw the four teams interested. Two of them took. Or Red Sox and who's the other team that took the same approach and said, all right, we're going to go 3 years. We're going to give you we're going to spike the average annual value.
Was it Toronto?
No.
Who was it? I'll look it up. Keep going.
Maybe it was the Astros. So it was the Astros, Tigers, Red Sox, and Blue Jays were the four interested.
I thought it doesn't really matter. The Blue Jays were the other high AAV team. The Tigers laid out 6 years, 170.
So the point is he had 2 6-year offers on the table, 2 3-year offers on the table. None of the deals were the exact same, and it might have just come down to him. And he says, like, hey, I'm in no rush. I'm not going to sign a deal on Christmas or on New Year's, but I also don't want to be the guy like Blake Snell and Jordan Montgomery last year and show up 2 days before camp. I wonder if part of it was him being like, all right, camp starting, I need to be in camp.
Good point. It could be that. Like, I think it's the Red Sox that bent the knee personally, but it absolutely could be that. I don't know.
But he might, and both can be true. He could be like, I need everybody's final offer by Valentine's Day because I want to be in a camp.
Yeah, and just to localize it, you brought up some names throughout baseball. You don't want to be Jeremy Swayman coming back one game into the year.
No.
Where you didn't have an offseason, and you're, when I say out of shape, I don't think Swayman's overweight or anything, but you're not in playing shape. Clearly, he wasn't ready to go to start the year. He's still feeling it out. That lost offseason was important. So Bregman's going to be on time when the full squad gets there next week, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
So maybe it is that. I'm guessing it's the Red Sox that bent the knee to a degree. Maybe it was just getting in that best offer and upping the AAV by $10 million over any other offer, as was reported. Do you think this is what the Red Sox are now? Does this represent a shift in the Red Sox where this is how they're going to do business, or is this a one-off?
So I think it's going to be kind of case by case because they signed a couple years ago Rafael Devers to a massive deal, and that really feels like a one-off, but it's also one where you can kind of point back to it and be like, well, we did do that. And so with Bregman, like Bregman's also kind of, you know, almost like the perfect kind of, I don't know how to describe it. The fact that like he played for Cora, they needed a righty bat. Like he happened to be available at this time. Like there, a lot of things kind of fell into place for this one to happen. So I think like they still are going to be hopefully somewhere between the 5th and 10th highest payroll in baseball. I don't think they're going to be knocking on the heels of like the Dodgers or the Yankees anytime soon, but at least they should get some of these guys year in and year out at some point.
Not to keep referencing this, but I heard it was most of my drive. He was on for a while this morning. I heard Baseball Brett. And
he had a good hit today.
He did. And he said, well, I mean, even when they weren't spending, they were still 11th or 12th in baseball.
That's bad. You don't want to be that low.
11th or 12th in baseball is a joke. And now with this, his math, I haven't done it, but his math was like they're the 5th or 6th highest spending team now, which is still too low.
Yeah.
But that is admittedly more respectable just on this Bregman contract alone for the short term the next couple of years. This is where I'm going to draw the line. I will not say the Red Sox are back. This is a new way of doing business, and they're going to start acting this way until they prioritize someone in the offseason.
No.
Because you cannot say Bregman was prioritized. They wanted him. Maybe they held their number. Maybe they broke him. Maybe it was smart business. but they were also willing, risking losing him by waiting until February. So until they start signing guys early in free agency, outmaneuvering people for it, I'm not going to say they're back to their old ways, but this is a positive step. I will acknowledge that.
Yeah, I think you can say they're back in for this season. They're back in for
a competitive
baseball season.
I'm talking now from a business standpoint. Are they back?
Well, I don't know. How confident are you that Garrett Crochet, Roman Anthony, Marcelo Meyer, Christian Campbell?
Text line is right. I'm sorry to interrupt. It was the Cubs. It wasn't Toronto. Cubs. It was the Cubs. Thank you.
Cubs. So you had, yeah, and actually, I think the text is right. It was 4 years from the Cubs. So you had 2 6-years, a 4, and a 3. And the 4-year deal is actually the same amount of money as the 3-year deal. So you do the math. I don't know about the opt outs and all those deals, but still, he had 4 different contracts kind of in front of him at one point. And he and his agent said, all right, we'll take this one. Even though, you know, you sort of put out there that you want a long term deal, you're getting everybody's best offers. And then you get this one, and he has the flexibility to leave after each year, if he wants. If he plays really well, maybe there will be a long-term deal waiting for him for somebody, you know, the following season. But my point was, the other thing with this team that we don't know is the young guys, even Duran and Casas, let alone the guys that we haven't even seen yet, and Crochet, if they're all as good as we expect them to be or hope for them to be, how many of them stick around? How many of them are Rafael Devers versus Mookie Betts? That's the other thing, because those guys could command massive, massive contracts. You might also have a chance to get to them before they hit free agency. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to, at some point, if a guy comes, not Bregman, but if somebody else comes to you and says, yeah, I want a 10-year deal. The Padres gave Fernando Tatis a 14-year deal. If somebody comes to you with that, are you even entertaining that?
I mean, they paid Bayo.
But they got
to him early. True. And by the way,
maybe
good job.
A mistake.
Good job by Mayo. Good contract for him.
Yeah.
They have not worked one out with Casas yet.
Nope.
And they've sat down and Casas basically laughed in their face.
And they fought over $200,000 with Jaron Duran.
Thank you. So now those are the kind of things where if you're leaping to say the Red Sox are back in that way, where the business is back and John Henry's going to start acting differently, that I'm not sold on.
Yeah.
This is a positive step. I'm happy with it.
Yes.
But I need to see way, way more before I declare that. But for this year, are they back on the field? And are they back to being a playoff team and maybe a contender? Yeah, I think they're back in that way for sure.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What do you guys think? 617-779-7937. You can jump in here before we talk to Rob Bradford about 15 minutes from now. Paul's on the Cape. Go ahead, Paul.
Hi. I'm really excited about this Bregman deal, but only if he plays third base. I don't see any sense of it if they move him to second base and he blocks what could be a couple of good young players and keep that defensive liability at third. So I'd just like to hear what you guys think about the look of the team with Bregman at third and or Bregman at second. And a related question, what are the options with Yoshida if they put Bregman at third?
What are the options? They can nail his ass to the bench, or they can trade him somewhere. Yeah, yeah. Or if it's Devers at third and Bregman at second, that's a way to get Yoshida into the lineup. I prefer Bregman at third base.
Same.
Over second.
Same.
But okay. When he says, what's the point of it? I'll draw the line there. I'll say the point is, you got your best right hand. Who was the best right-handed bat on the team before the signing?
Story? Trevor Story.
So you had a not even a good
Rob
one.
Rob Snyder guy.
Yeah, maybe.
Against lefties specifically.
You had an okay right-handed bat until the marathon. And then you're going to lose that right-handed bat. So there was still a point to signing this guy. That's all.
And also, I don't know if Bregman's necessarily blocking a good young player as much as the Red Sox may block a good young player. So opening day, if they didn't have Bregman, I want Christian Campbell to play second base, but don't you think it would be like Vaughn Grissom or Rafaela, maybe, depending on where they put him.
They're
going to
manipulate
or
the service time and so keep him in the minors.
It's not Bregman doing that. But I'm with him, and we'll say this, I guess, you know, every 20 minutes people tuning in. Like, I would rather – I love Bregman playing third base. I very much like him on the team, but you could make the move even better by playing him at third base. But at least in the early going, it doesn't seem like they're going to do that.
How much do you think they needed the leadership, professional – winner, champion. How much do you think they needed that stuff, like the intangible stuff with Bregman that I think he brings to the table?
I think a lot. I think kind of a lot, because if you look at the team, and that's why maybe this Netflix thing will be kind of interesting to watch, maybe, like the documentary about the team from last year.
Yeah, where
it's because it's just all Casas yelling
at himself. Casas just screaming at himself, but like, self-flagellating.
But like, you look around the team, They don't really have a lot of leaders. They certainly don't have a lot of guys that have had playoff success and World Series wins. Like, a lot of young guys you're relying on. Rafael Devers is not comfortable in that role. Trevor Story's always hurt. So where is it coming from? Last year, you thought maybe it was coming from Kenley Jansen. Then it turns out, like, no, he was just, like, a bad teammate.
Yep.
So, no, sometimes that can be a little bit overrated, but in this case, it's not. Man, the parallels between the Red Sox and the Patriots are very significant. Not just about the money being spent, but like that's also a team that just needs a couple pros.
You see Mike Reese's tweet this morning? Mike Reese, thinking out loud, R.E. the Red Sox and Alex Bregman, as it relates to the Patriots and free agency. It's not just quoting Ed Sheeran there. sometimes you have to pay more, especially when there's a notable talent and championship pedigree gap compared to top contenders. Can still be strategic in doing so. I.e. short-term deal. Hashtag let it rip.
Let it... Wait, what?
That's a bear shout-out, I think.
Hashtag let it rip?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think...
Hashtag fill to fill.
I fill to fill.
Gross.
Hashtag love is not logical.
No, but I think
it's important for this team, definitely.
There's a parallel with both these teams. Their brand has taken such a hit with probably agents, you know, where they look at it and go, yeah, I'm not going to tell my guy to go there where... You're not winning. You're not competitive. You don't pay anybody. You've fallen off so far. Like, you're standing within the game. The Patriots are in the NFL. The Red Sox are in Major League Baseball. Has taken such a hit. The brand has taken such a hit. Where now, to get players to come here, you have to overpay. You'll always get players if you overpay. Always. In every single sport.
I'll do you one better.
And so these teams are both in the same spot there. You're right.
Alex Bregman is Cooper Kupp. Cooper Kupp is Alex Bregman. Spider-Man meme. They both fill a need.
You like Cooper Kupp much more than you like Alex Bregman, which is weird because Bregman at one time was good, just like at one time Cooper Kupp was
good. Cooper Kupp was great. Cooper Kupp had the greatest wide receiver season in the history of the sport. Alex Bregman had a runner-up MVP season.
I've heard. What did he do again that year?
Led the lead. He had the receiver triple crown.
Right.
Won a Super Bowl. Yep. Won a Super Bowl MVP.
I've heard
no
this,
one's
yes.
ever done that before in the history of the great sport of football. So I think he deserves a lot of credit. Hats and helmets off to Cooper Kupp.
Oh, you give him a lot of credit.
He's the best player of all time. Meanwhile... It just because he fits a need, right? So Bregman fits a need just like the player, just like Cooper Kupp fits a need, the player, but then also what they could do to the locker room and have got not a lot. Like I said, he's both have won at the absolute highest level, both still have something left in the tank, although maybe not, you know, the previous seasons that they've had. So, yeah, that's maybe the perfect analogy.
Good point by the text line as well. Well, or let me spin off their point. They say, why is Devers on the team if he doesn't provide leadership?
I mean, not everybody can.
But this is why the Bregman move is important as well. It's like you have Walker Buehler on the pitching side, a guy who has pitched in big games and won. You have Bregman now in the lineup. Rafael Devers does not have to be elite. He does not have to be the face of the team.
No. He's on the team for like 30 dingers and 120 RBI. Yeah. That's why he's on the team.
So just go. Manny Ramirez... was this way. Not to say that Devers is Manny Ramirez.
No, I get it.
But Manny's not a leader. You need to get guys in who are going to be the face of the team and be responsible and stand out in front and face the music. And Devers would, number one, it's not his native language. Number two, he would hide and he wasn't going to stand there and face the music.
Oh,
and
after like losing streaks, he wouldn't even be there.
He dodged the media.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I don't fully know Bregman and forget the media aspect of it. It's just, who's going to be the leader of the team?
No, you're making somebody else speak for the losing streak, or are you going to stand up there and
Bregman's going to lead the bats. Buehler's going to lead the rotation. Yeah. You know, I think from a leadership standpoint, he's not their best pitcher.
No.
But now you have guys who have been there and done that, and I think that slots everybody else in the proper place.
Things are looking up.
They are looking up.
I mean, what's the first game? Like, hurry up. Let's get there.